Christmas is one of only 2 days in the year, and we're supposed to say more than one Mass. It's normally forbidden for a priest to say more than one Mass in a day. And of course, out of necessity, we say three Masses almost every Sunday, but the 2 days of the year that we're supposed to say three Masses are today, the Feast of Christmas, and then also on November the 2nd, All Souls Day. And so this Mass is the middle Mass, the morning Mass, the dawn Mass, the second Mass of Christmas. In the epistle for the dawn Mass, the Aurora Mass, the second Mass of Christmas, is taken from St. Paul's letter to Titus, chapter 3. Dearly beloved, the goodness and kindness of God our Savior appeared, not by the works of justice which we have done, but according to His mercy. He saved us by the laver of regeneration and the renovation of the Holy Ghost, whom He hath poured forth upon us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we may be heirs according to hope of life everlasting in Christ Jesus our Lord. And in the Gospel, it's taken that according to St. Luke chapter 2. At that time the shepherds said one to another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and let us see this word that is come to pass, which the Lord hath showed to us." And they came with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the infant lying in a manger. And seeing, they understood of the word that had been spoken to them concerning this child. And all that heard wondered, and at those things that were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these words, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. Thus far the word of today's Holy Gospel. In the news of this Christmas, this year's Christmas season, the first year in which the number one and number two most played songs for this season have nothing to do with Christmas, nothing to do with Christ or the Christ child. And it was the first year in the history of our country since its founding that there was no Christmas party in the White House. There was a holiday party instead. And it seems that every year, as we travel through the recent times, every year Christ is more and more forgotten, less and less remembered, each Christmas tide. Less come to participate in the great feast of Christmas, less speak of Him even in the outside world. There are less creches, there are less signs of Christmas. Each year it's less and less. And so today, a little consideration of the first Christmas and the coming of Christ and the recognition that when our Lord Jesus Christ came the first time, there was a census being taken, says Bishop Sheen. And what was the census going to count? Going to count the number of men in the kingdom of the great August Caesar. The number of men in his kingdom. He wanted to find out how great and extensive was his reign. How wonderful was the kingdom of Rome. It had so many men in the world underneath it. He wanted to know the number. And therefore he required that in every part of his kingdom, every man should go to his place of origin and there be counted. That he might know every place, in every place, how many he ruled. They were there to count men, said Bishop Sheen, but there was no one counting God. They were there to count all the numbers that matter. The numbers that matter in Rome are very similar to the numbers that matter in our modern age. How many sales did we make? How many customers do we have? How many dollars do we have? How many things do we possess? We're counting the numbers. And in these numbers, you will not find Christ. Count as many things as you have. Count the swimming pools, count the houses, count the people, and you will not find Christ. Jesus Christ was ignored in the first Christmas as well as this one. And each year, we can point out that in each year of the modern world, Christmas is becoming more like unto the first one, closer and closer to it. The child and his mother and his father, his virginal father, his foster father, are traveling into all the cities of the world, and they are not treated with cruelty. No one will be mean to them. They are not rejected because they are hated. It is just that we're busy right now. There are a lot of guests. There's a census going on, and there just isn't enough room. Not only in the inn, but remember that in many of the houses in which our Blessed Virgin and St. Joseph went during the course of that morning of the 24th of December and throughout the course of the entirety of that day, under normal circumstances, there would be room. But all their relatives had come from out of town in order to be counted. It was indeed understandable. It was not as though these were all cruel people. Although Bishop Sheen points out, and when it comes to the statement they had no room for him in the inn, it must be remembered it's because they were poor. There was no room because they had no money. Father Urban Snyder, one of the priests I was raised with, used to say often at this Christmas, imagine if a rich man had come to that inn and it was completely full. The innkeeper would say, oh, we have plenty of room. We've reserved a special room for you. And as the rich man was being brought up to that room, servants would be brought ahead, and they would take the man that was in that room and throw him out the window. There was room. It all depends on who you are. There's room for money. There's room for numbers. But there is not room for Christ. And not only amongst the evil men, such as the Annases and the Caiaphases and the Pharisees and the Sadducees of the world, but also amongst the good. They are just choked up by the cares of the world, like unto the thorns that our Lord Jesus Christ spoke of in one of his parables. The wheat grows up, but the cares of the world choke it out. And it bears no deep root amongst the rocks. And so Christ comes into our world, but there's no room for him. What spirit should this cause inside of us? There was an angel that appeared, or many angels that appeared this night to shepherds. When they appeared to the shepherds, they said to them, this shall be a sign unto you. You shall see a child wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger. This is the sign. And our Lord Jesus Christ prophesied the same sign for us towards the end of the world. He said, rejoice and be glad when you are persecuted, when men revile you, for your reward is great indeed. What are we supposed to do when we're persecuted? We're supposed to rejoice and be glad. What are swaddling clothes? St. Jerome tells us, swaddling clothes, they are not the proper clothes of a baby. They have no arms, they have no legs. It is simply a band that wraps around them to keep them from freezing, and it makes a baby look like a mummy. He cannot move his feet, he cannot move his arms. He's trapped inside of his own garments. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall not see a babe with proper baby clothes. You shall see a babe that cannot move his arms. You shall see a babe that cannot move his feet. He will simply be wrapped up in order to be kept from freezing by his mother. But he will not have baby clothes. He'll be wrapped in swaddling clothes. He shall not be in a crib. He shall be in a manger. Not in a place for babies or men. He shall be in a place for food for animals. And St. Jerome points out, Christ is not only our spiritual food, but he has been the food for animals, the food for beasts. He was born amongst the beasts, says Bishop Sheen, and when he died, it was amongst men acting like beasts. What is the sign? that the Savior is coming, and that He is coming soon. The sign that the Savior is coming, that He is coming soon, is that His swaddling clothes are wrapped tighter and tighter. And more come to eat of Him, and more come to attack Him. The more attacked Christ is in Christmas, the more ignored He is, the more is His power. And the closer we are to the redemption of the world. And as we see this forgetfulness of Christ, rather than causing us to be upset, we should rejoice because we were told what would happen. Know that the world hates me, says our Lord Jesus Christ to His apostles, and it will also hate you. What are you going to do when it hates you? In Acts chapter 5, we discover that the world hated the apostles, and they were thrown in prison. And what did they do? They rejoiced that they might suffer something for Christ. Being persecuted for Catholics makes us happy. Part of the reason why we're just plain weird. We're different than others. What makes us happy is different. And it should make us happy. We were walking along and we heard an angel. And the angel said, "You shall see this sign. There'll be some shepherd, a kind of man despised by all. And he will be pointing to you a child. And where will this child be? In a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes." And the closer we are to that manger, and the more visible are the swaddling clothes, the more beautiful is the Christmas. And remember this about our Lord Jesus Christ. Our child who is a king, He says no words on this day. He performs no miracles. He does not move His arm. He shows no power. And He conquers the world. Here is one of the mysteries about the devil and his battle against Christ. At the end of his life, he will try to slay Christ, try to defeat Christ by killing Him. At the beginning of his life, he will try to defeat Christ by ignoring Him. But whether Jesus Christ is ignored or whether He is slain, He is most powerful. That is when He attains victory. The soul that tries to flee Him can still be captured by Him. The soul that hates Him can still be turned by Him. And we who have the faith must remember that Christ is more powerful than those that ignore Him, and He is more powerful than those that hate Him, and in a moment, for instance, the moment that Russia is consecrated to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, in a moment, these souls can be turned around and made into the closest friends of Christ. The more He is forgotten, the more He is assaulted, the more we should rejoice. And the closer we should make ourselves arrive, the closer we make ourselves be to that manger. So let's remember that our Lord Jesus Christ's power is different than the power of other kings. His weapons are different than the weapons of other warriors. His ways are different than the ways of the world. Rather than being upset because we don't have enough swords, and rather being upset because of the ways of the world are not so readily available to us, we should rather rejoice because we have different ways and different weapons, different reasons for rejoicing. And our rejoicing is forever. And our King shall lead always. And so let's remember that and follow Him wherever He leads. The main focus of this second Mass of Christmas, the first Mass of Christmas, Christ comes in the flesh. He is first visible to us as a little babe. The second Mass of Christmas, Christ comes into our souls. We have to remember that He must enter into my soul and He must be the life of my soul. I must live in the state of sanctifying grace. I must live with the divine love. And the third Mass of Christmas, in which we use the last gospel, in the beginning was the Word, as the gospel of the Mass. In the third Mass of Christmas, we remember it is God who became flesh, and it is God who dwells in our souls, and it is God who is our King, and it is God who is the purpose of our existence, and it is God with whom we shall dwell for all eternity. And in these three Masses of Christmas, we consider three beautiful mysteries. The mystery of God becoming flesh, lowering Himself to the nature of flesh. The mystery of God coming into our souls, which is so often dirty and has been so long an enemy of Him. And the mystery of the goodness and infinite mercy and wisdom and greatness of God Himself. We simply rejoice to have such a King. As it says in the book of Isaiah, when the King cometh, the lion shall sleep with the sheep, and the asp shall sleep with the lamb, the snake shall sleep with the lamb, and the little boy shall stick his hand into the hole of the snake, and he shall not be stung, and they shall all be led by the hand of a little child. These are the words of Isaiah about our King. Somehow He is able to bring together the lion and the sheep, the snake and the lamb, the boy and the snake. He is somehow able to connect all those that hate each other and all those that are enemies. How does He do it? Because He says no word. He does not move. He doesn't even ask us to come to the cave in which He dwells. He's simply there, and somehow we pass by, and somehow we see the beauty of this babe, and somehow we are transformed. How is it done? The devil shall be mocked for all eternity because of his foolishness, and the greatest foolishness of the devil is twofold, the foolishness by which he ignores Christ, and the foolishness by which he attacks and tries to kill him. Because these are the ways in which he brings Christ victory. And so we must follow different ways. And then we will learn the ways of Christ and be prepared for heaven. Live in grace. Remember that God has become man for us. And that our man, the man that we follow is God. The God that we follow has become man. And He dwells inside of our souls. And let His grace grow inside of our souls. So that we'll be able to be happy with Him for all eternity. And then live forever with Him. In a perpetual rejoicing of seeing that babe as a perpetual Christmas for all eternity. I'll close it at that, and God bless you all. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.